Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. This is the fourth lesson, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. We're focusing upon the major events that took place during the ministry of Christ, as are recorded for us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We closed our last lesson with Jesus discussing things with the woman of Samaria at Jacob's well. And Jesus pointed out to her that he was the water of life. He's talking about eternal life, using water figuratively to offer that eternal life unto her and the world. Well, in the course of their conversation, the woman was quite impressed, and she was informed, and she ran into the city to tell everyone there that she had found the Messiah. Well, they came out and heard Jesus preach for themselves, and the Bible says that many believed on him. Well, this entire episode bewildered the disciples, of course, but immediately informs us of the basic truth of the faith of Christ. The gospel is for all. It was not just for the Jew. It would also be for the Samaritan. Indeed, Christ died for the sins of the world. In the fourth chapter of John, we also read how that Jesus entered into his first expanded ministry in Galilee, and specifically in the city called Capernaum. Now, more of his mighty works, I suppose, were done in Capernaum, or in and around Capernaum, than most any other geographical place. The noblemen of that city heard of the presence of Jesus. He had a son that was nigh unto death, and he came requesting that Jesus come and heal his son. Now this nobleman, we don't know whether he was a Jewish nobleman or a Roman nobleman, but he had a son that he loved, obviously. He had heard of the miracles of Christ. He wanted Christ to come and to heal him. And Jesus just merely spoke, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." Well, the nobleman returned home, and he found his son recovered. And it reported to the father that the son recovered. It was at the same hour in which Jesus had spoken to him that his son was healed. Well, from Capernaum, Jesus goes to the little village of Nazareth, where he had grown up. Now, we must take caution here. The chronology of events that we're about to consider that took place during the ministry of Christ, it's not that certain. We should not become dogmatic regarding the order of these events, because some of them are recorded in one book and others are recorded in another book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we're not informed just exactly in which order they took place, but that's not really the important thing. The important thing is that they occurred, and they occurred approximately in the same general time frame. And this was in the early part of his first major Galilean tour. Now, the people of Nazareth were anxious to hear him. They had heard of how he had turned the water into wine at Cana, and news of what he had done in Jerusalem. Why, that had gone everywhere, especially his cleansing of the temple. They could easily have known about how he healed the nobleman's son who lived in Capernaum, and that was not very far from Nazareth. Well, Jesus went into the synagogue, and that was his custom, and he was given an opportunity to read the scriptures and to make application of them. So he read from the scriptures from the prophet Isaiah, and he read about the Messiah that was to come. And then he applied that scripture to himself. He said, "Today hath this scripture been fulfilled in your ears." Now the reaction of Jesus at this point, it's not what the people expected. They didn't expect him to declare that Isaiah was prophesying concerning him. They were not surprised about the prophecy. They had read that prophecy before. But that here, this son of Joseph, this carpenter of their own number, would he make a claim for himself to be the one that Isaiah had foretold? Why, this angered them, and they drove him from the synagogue to a brow of a hill, and they would have cast him down, except he made his way among them and lost himself in the throng, and he came back to Capernaum. You see how fickle the thinking of people were? They wanted to hear him, but they didn't want to hear what he had to say. And when he identified himself as the Messiah, many turned against him. Well, in Capernaum, which was near the Sea of Galilee, there Jesus found some fishermen who were mending their nets. Now, they had fished all night before, but they had caught nothing. Jesus told them to go out and cast their nets again. Well, they reluctantly followed his directions, but when they did, they made a huge catch, so much that their nets began to break, and they needed assistance to hold what they had caught. Peter's reaction is most interesting here. He really typified all of them, I suppose, when he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Now, Peter simply did not consider himself worthy to be even in the presence of such a one as Jesus. And then it was then that Jesus told them, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, that they would become fishers of men. And they left their fisher, and they followed Christ. They became his first apostles. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we read of more things that Jesus did in the city of Capernaum. We have several noted miracles of Jesus that occurred in this general geographical area. The people were impressed not only because of his teaching, but because of the things that he did. His teaching was not like that of the scribes. He taught as one having authority to teach in his own name, and well they might so consider him, because after all, he was the Son of God that was teaching them. And in the synagogue, he cast out an unclean spirit from a man, and the people were astonished, and his fame spread abroad. By the way, I think it's most interesting that archaeologists have found what they think are the foundations of that very synagogue there in the city of Capernaum, the synagogue where Jesus taught and where Jesus healed. He also healed Peter's mother-in-law of a fever. The Bible says that many were brought to him with all manner of diseases, and he healed them. And he used these things to provoke faith in him as the one that he claimed to be, the Son of God and the Savior of man. He did it to gain open-minded hearers to his message that he came to preach. Now, Jesus made a tour through Galilee in order to preach the gospel of the kingdom. He said, "For to this end came I forth." Wherever he went, there were large multitudes of people awaiting him. They came from Palestine, from Syria, from the north and from the south, all around. The fame of Jesus was spreading. He healed a man of leprosy. Then he told the man to do the things that the law of Moses required for his ceremonial cleansing, and so he could be accepted once again. But the man was told by Jesus not to broadcast this cure, and we somewhat wonder why he told him not to tell about it, because he went out and published it all the more, insomuch that the opportunities for Jesus to teach what he had come to teach were hindered by the throngs and the multitudes seeking to be healed. The fame of Jesus, it worked in his favor in one way, because it caused people to come and he could teach them. But the multitudes had become so large that he was actually hindered from some of his teaching. In another instance here in Capernaum, there were four men who came with a paralytic man, and they let the man down through the roof into the presence of Jesus. Now, the reason they did this, they found it impossible to get through the crowds. And when Jesus saw them letting the man down through the roof, he commended their faith, and he healed the man. His Bible says he saw their faith. Now, faith is a spiritual quality. You don't actually see faith. You know faith exists by the actions that are taking place motivated by that faith. Jesus commended their faith. He healed the man. But he first pronounced the man's sins forgiven. And when he did this, this angered the religious leaders who were there. They accused him of blasphemy, contending that only God could forgive sins. Now, you know their contention here, they were correct. Only God can forgive sins. But what they failed to realize that Jesus was deity in their presence. In order to prove the fact that Jesus was who he claimed to be, he asked them which was easier for one to do, to forgive sins or to heal the man. Then he ordered the man to take up his bed and walk, and thereby proved his power and proved his identity. And the people remarked that they had never seen such as this in that fashion. They'd just never seen anything like it. And indeed they had not. While in Galilee, Jesus called Matthew, who was also called by the name Levi, who was a tax collector, a publican, to follow him. Now, the tax collectors were generally hated by the Jews because they were Jews who had placed themselves into the service of the hated Roman government. But Jesus obviously saw something great potential in Matthew, and Matthew obligingly and willingly committed himself to follow Jesus. Now, it sounds like, as we read about the call of Matthew, that this might have been the first time that he had ever seen Jesus, but that's not likely. The fame of Jesus is so broad. Matthew, no doubt, had heard of and maybe had even seen some of the things that Jesus had done. And because of that, when he was called, he was motivated and provoked to cease the activity in which he had been formerly involved and to become a disciple of Christ. We read here also, when he is here in Judah, of other miracles that he did. We read of one miracle of which there is some, well, it's quite a puzzle as to some of the details surrounding it, and that was when he healed a man at the Pool of Bethesda. We'll talk about this healing at the Pool of Bethesda in our next class, in our next study about the story of the life of Christ. Dear friend, it's important that we know that when Jesus was here upon this earth, as Peter later said in the book of Acts, he went about doing good. He was sympathetic, he was kind, he was helpful, he wanted to benefit mankind, and he proved himself to be the Savior of man that God had sent into the world. Well, be with us again as we continue to study the story of Jesus. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.